You can't see that.
Well, you know, I was with the mayor and Shelley on Sunday, and I think they were both planning on being here. I was with at the dedication.
Hanging around out there in the parking lot, talking with.
Looking at our new parking lot.
And talking to lobbyists and stuff.
Well, Patrick would have seen it. Were they out there?
Shelley?
Yeah.
Doesn't Shelley have a red Jeep?
Well, we can't hold up progress for them.
I was going to ask her if her old head is dying hard. She's still parked way over there.
Oh. Hard before it starts costing us money. Whenever those two get in here, we start spending money like drunk sailors.
But you're responsible to him, so, you know, as well, and other folks.
Did you get married, Captain? Do you feel different? You taller? Congratulations, kid.
Congratulations.
Hey, we didn't know that.
Good for you.
Jokingly said, well, they're probably out admiring our new parking lot.
Well, I was.
Said, yeah, they are out there.
Well, I was out there, man, you know. I don't know where Shelly is, but she's. I saw her.
Day to watch. Somebody
I know it was my day to watch her, huh?
Somebody accused you of talking to lobbyists.
Oh, is that, yeah.
That's
I told her, I says, these guys cost us a lot of money and they're out there talking to lobbyists.
That's right, man. Yeah, I just don't want to talk to any of those guys. Just want them to pay money when they get here.
Look, I hear.
Think I heard it.
There she is. Yeah, I did. How do you like that?
See, I beat her. That's pretty good. Okay. See, I just tried to call you and tell you, hey, I'm late. Now you're late.
She had to look for her sunglasses.
Oh, come on. I was 5 minutes late.
Okay. Folly Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization of Wednesday, September 14th, to order. Please note that the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is pleased to make reasonable accommodation for members of the public who are disabled and wish to attend the meeting. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization staff in writing at 3505 Bud Eye Way, Carson City, or by emailing or calling Patrick Pittenger at the MPO office. For more information regarding any of the items listed on the agenda, please contact the MPO staff at 775-887-2355. Additionally, the agenda with all the supporting materials is posted on the CAMPO website at www.carsonareampo.com. Kathy, would you call the roll, please?
Chairperson Esfine?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Desjardins?
Here.
Member Aldean?
Here.
Member Carpenter?
Here.
Member Kroll?
Here.
Member Foltz?
Here.
Member Mallory?
Here.
And ex officio member Van Habel?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. At this time, we'll take public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the MPO may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the item for a future Metropolitan Planning Organization meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on to
Mr.
the next.
Chair, I just wanted to publicly recognize that Kathy King is newly married, and she didn't even have to change her last name. I mean, what a luxury. Congratulations, Kathy.
Item C, agenda management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. CAMPO may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and CAMPO may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to any item on the agenda. Does anybody have any changes they'd like made on the agenda? Hearing none, we will move on. Disclosures. Any member of the Metropolitan Planning Organization that may wish to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Any members have any disclosures? None. Okay. And we will open the public meeting. The first item, E1, for possible action to nominate and elect a new vice chairman. Do we have any nominations?
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, that's okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to nominate the person immediately to my right, Mr. Foltz.
Second.
You need to close nominations?
I'll second that. All those in favor?
We have a motion to, or we have a nomination for Member Foltz. And seconded by Member Crowell. And we have a motion to close nominations.
And a second.
Any discussion?
No need.
And we take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Congratulations, Jim.
That was the intent.
I didn't have time to react. I didn't.
I would. Next, the October meeting will be my last meeting. At the November meeting, Member Desjardins will become the chairman, and Jeff, you'll become the vice chairman.
I'd like to say something.
So do we want to amend the motion to reflect the fact that this nomination and the acceptance of the nomination is deferred until October, enactment until October? Do you care? Is it just a general understanding that?
It's
until November, actually.
Yeah, November. Until November. We were under the impression that it was going to be effective next month, but I don't know if there's a need to amend the motion.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a comment, perhaps more for the public. I think it's, if it's not well known, this is a multi-county organization, and we've been very pleased to
have participation from Wyon County and from Douglas County. And I think most everybody knows our esteemed chair is from Wyon County and has done a superb job. And I really personally hate to see him go, but obviously we all move on. And with that, I think in keeping with the involvement of those two counties, that it's only proper that Mr. Foltz move in. He's been a member of this commission now for 2 years, 3 years, perhaps?
Roughly 3 years.
3 years, and obviously has seen us grow, and I personally look forward to him being my vice chair and bringing his experience and knowledge from Douglas County. And I think it's important as we move forward that both Carson and Douglas County continue to work very close together, as I think we definitely have done that, and I look forward to us working even closer together and for the benefit of the citizens that we serve.
Thank you. Any other members have any comments to make?
Well, I just say I appreciate the vote of confidence, and I'll do my best in that position.
Well, congratulations. The next item is an item for action to approve the proposed CAMPO Federal Fiscal Year 2012-2015 Transportation Improvement Program. Patrick, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dan Dengis, Senior Transportation Planner, for the record. We as staff are seeking approval for the Transportation Improvement Program for federal fiscal years 2012 through 2015. You had seen a draft during the last meeting. There's been relatively little change, just some minor changes to some of the transit projects. And of course, as Patrick mentioned last time, the Nevada Railroad Museum had a change in scope to their project, which was using enhancement funds. So far, it's gone to NDOT as to transfer the additional funds that the Railroad Museum is not using to some of the other remaining enhancement projects in there. And there's still kind of awaiting the final decree on that. But and with that, assuming we get approval tonight, we'll be forwarding this on to both NDOT and FHWA, and then NDOT will incorporate it into their state transportation improvement program.
Thank you. Any members have any questions? Kelly?
Dan, looking at this list, there are really only two enhancement projects that would be eligible for the excess funding.
Correct.
And that would be the landscaping project or the pedestrian path along Roop Street. So have we provided, are you going to staff, I'm perfectly fine with staff making that determination, you know, and providing NDOT with input as to which of those two projects should be the recipient of those dollars, or if you feel more comfortable bringing it back to CAMPO, you can do that as well. But I'm assuming we haven't made it known to NDOT how we'd like those additional spends allocated.
Yeah, actually, we have Patrick wants to fill in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Actually, there was a brief window of opportunity wherein the Railroad Museum was being informed that their funds would be removed and not remain in the CAMPO area. So we, upon conferring with the project managers, the Roop Street project had been previously trimmed by about $100,000. So we returned, in a manner of speaking, we returned $100,000 to the Roop Street project, and with the remainder, which was $225,000, was then requested to be assigned to the freeway landscape project. So that's how it broke out, and that is moving forward on the Roop Street agreement, and we're still discussing with them the freeway landscape agreement. They were already processing a previous amendment for about $300,000, and we were told that was put in the mail today. So these things take a little while, but we now have the first one. We'll bring that back to you next month, and then hopefully we'll have yet another amendment to add these additional funds.
Thank you.
County and from Douglas County. And I think most everybody knows our esteemed chair is from Lyon County and has done a superb job. And I really personally hate to see him go, but obviously we all move on. And with that, I think in keeping with the involvement of those two counties, that it's only proper that Mr. Foltz move in. He's been a member of this commission now for 2 years, 3 years, perhaps?
Roughly 3 years.
3 years. And obviously has seen us grow, and I personally look forward to him being my vice chair and bringing his experience and knowledge from Douglas County. And I think it's important as we move forward that both Carson and Douglas County continue to work very close together, as I think we definitely have done that, and I look forward to us working even closer together and for the benefit of the citizens that we serve.
Thank you. Any other members have any comments to make?
Well, I just say I appreciate the vote of confidence, and I'll do my best in that position.
Well, congratulations. The next item is an item for action to approve the proposed CAMPO Federal Fiscal Year 2012-2015 Transportation Improvement Program. Patrick, do you? Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dan Dengis, Senior Transportation Planner, for the record. We, as staff, are seeking approval for the Transportation Improvement Program for federal fiscal years 2012 through 2015. You had seen a draft during the last meeting. There's been relatively little change, just some minor changes to some of the transit projects. And, of course, as Patrick mentioned last time, the Nevada Railroad Museum had a change in scope to their project, which was using enhancement funds. So far, it's gone to NDOT as to transfer the additional funds that the Railroad Museum is not using to some of the other remaining enhancement projects in there. And there's still kind of awaiting the final decree on that. But and with that, assuming we get approval tonight, we'll be forwarding this on to both NDOT and FHWA, and then NDOT will incorporate it into their state transportation improvement program.
Thank you. Any members have any questions? Kelly?
Dan, looking at this list, there are really only two enhancement projects that would be eligible for the excess funding.
Correct.
That would be the landscaping project or the pedestrian path along Roop Street. So have we provided, are you going to staff, I'm perfectly fine with staff making that determination, you know, and providing NDOT with input as to which of those two projects should be the recipient of those dollars, or if you feel more comfortable bringing it back to CAMPO, you can do that as well. But I'm assuming we haven't made it known to NDOT how we'd like those additional spends allocated.
Yeah, actually, we have Patrick wants to fill in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, there was a brief window of opportunity wherein the Railroad Museum was being informed that their funds would be removed and not remain in the CAMPO area. So we, upon conferring with the project managers, the Roop Street project had been previously trimmed by about $100,000. So we returned, in a manner of speaking, we returned $100,000 to the Roop Street project, and with the remainder, which was $225,000, was then requested to be assigned to the freeway landscape project. So that's how it broke out, and that is moving forward on the Roop Street agreement, and we're still discussing with them the freeway landscape agreement. They were already processing a previous amendment for about $300,000, and we were told that was put in the mail today. So these things take a little while, but we now have the first one. We'll bring that back to you next month, and then hopefully we'll have yet another amendment to add these additional funds.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Dan or Patrick?
Yeah.
Russ?
Dan, in looking at the roadway improvement section, I see nothing forecast for 2015. And is that just, and if we get projects for 2015, we will just make amendments to this plan?
Yeah, well, depending on whether project would, the criteria for that, whether it would be an amendment or an administrative modification. The latter is more typically dealing with a change in funding if it's under a certain threshold. But really, we worked closely with NDOT as far as listing the projects they have and provided the information they gave us, as well as Lyon County. And I just would reiterate that we do look at this every year on an annual basis. So when we update it, you know, we'll drop off the current year 2012 and add 2016. And I imagine there'll be some changes at that time once plans are more in place for the longer term years. So.
And also, I'm guessing that these are in, they're all in 2011 dollars. There's no adjustment for, you know, inflationary changes.
Only on the projects that are kind of recurring, like some of the transit projects. If you look at like the operating costs for the JAC service, inflation is figured into, you know, each year. But some more of the capital type projects, we basically take the numbers that are given to us from NDOT, and I don't know, maybe Jason can better answer if they've incorporated inflation prior to giving them to us, but we don't do anything with them once we have them, though.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, for those estimates on the construction, there is not a inflation factored into it in that time frame. If we look at something further out, we will, but for this one, we don't.
Okay. Well, this is an action item. Do we have a motion on this item?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the proposed CAMPO Federal Fiscal Year 2012-2015 Transportation Improvement Program as presented.
Thank you.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any public comment on this item? Hearing none. Any comment from the commission? None. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? The ayes have it.
But it was a close vote.
Internal communications. Any items?
On our future engine items, we have been assured by NDOT staff that we'll be getting the three transit funding agreements for FTA 5303, 5309, and 5316 funds prior to our next meeting, so we'll have those to approve. And then we intend to give you an update on the traffic signal coordination study that was included in the CAMPO work program. While the primary impact is maybe on Carson City, it was in the CAMPO work program, and it certainly does affect our neighboring counties and particularly Douglas County, because not only does the signal coordination extend into Douglas County, now Carson City, since the study began, actually has assumed operation of the traffic signal system in Douglas County as well. So we'll be bringing that back to you as we anticipate the traffic signal updates to be occurring between now and the next meeting to provide information to the public and to the CAMPO board regarding the outcome of that work.
Thank you. Does any member have anything?
Mr. Chair, I don't know if this is a possible future agenda item, but I think we're all watching as to what the federal government is going to do relative to a transportation bill, et cetera. Would it be maybe this more for Jason? proper for us to maybe be briefed next?
At any other questions for Dan or Patrick? Russ?
Dan, in looking at the roadway improvement section, I see nothing forecast for 2015. And is that just, and if we get projects for 2015, we will just make amendments to this plan?
Yeah, well, depending on whether project would, the criteria for that, whether it would be an amendment or an administrative modification. The latter is more typically dealing with a change in funding if it's under a certain threshold. But really, we worked closely with NDOT as far as listing the projects they have and provided the information they gave us, as well as Lyon County. And I just would reiterate that we do look at this every year on an annual basis. So when we update it, you know, we'll drop off the current year 2012 and add 2016, and I imagine there'll be some changes at that time once plans are more in place for the, you know, the longer term years. So,
and also I'm guessing that these are in they're all in 2011 dollars. There's no adjustment for, you know, inflationary changes.
Only on the projects that are kind of recurring, like some of, for example, some of the transit projects, if you look at like the operating costs for the JAC service, inflation is figured into, you know, each year. But some more of the capital type projects, we basically take the numbers that are given to us from NDOT, and I don't know, maybe Jason can better answer if they've incorporated inflation prior to giving them to us, but we don't do anything with them once we have them, though.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, for those estimates on the construction, there is not a inflation factored into it in that time frame. If we look at something further out, we will, but for this one, we don't.
Well, this is an action item. Do we have a motion on this item?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the proposed CAMPO Federal Fiscal Year 2012-2015 Transportation Improvement Program as presented.
Thank you.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any public comment on this item? None. Any comment from the commission? None. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? The ayes have it.
But it was a close call.
Internal communications. Any items?
Yeah, on our future engine items, we have been assured by NDOT staff that we'll be getting the three transit funding agreements for FTA 5303, 5309, and 5316 funds prior to our next meeting, so we'll have those to approve. And then we intend to give you an update on the traffic signal coordination study that was included in the CAMPO work program. While the primary impact is on maybe on Carson City, it was in the CAMPO work program, and it certainly does affect our neighboring counties, and particularly Douglas County, because not only does the signal coordination extend into Douglas County, now Carson City, since the study began, actually has assumed operation of the traffic signal system in Douglas County as well. So we'll be bringing that back to you as we anticipate the traffic signal updates to be occurring between now and the next meeting, to provide information to the public and to the CAMPO board regarding the outcome of that work.
Thank you. Does any member have anything?
Mr. Chair, I don't know if this is a possible future agenda item, but I think we're all watching as to what the federal government is going to do relative to a transportation bill, et cetera. Would it be maybe this more for Jason? proper for us to maybe be briefed next at our next meeting as to where that whole thing sits, if we're going to have a bill and money to deal with or not?
Well, certainly we'll bring whatever information we have and we can and update you. I just heard today that there was a bill that extended safety lieu and the federal gas tax for 6 months that made it out of the House. Now, I had conflicting reports that on the time frame that it wasn't 6 months, it was actually 4 months. But nonetheless, it appears as though it's in the works to have September 30th at least be extended a little bit at this point. That's the latest that I received today.
Mr. Chair, if I may, there was one thing I forgot to mention, and that is that the agreement that we have, that we, Campbell, have with the Nevada Department of Transportation is, we were just informed that it is set to expire later this month, and Dennis Taylor has graciously offered to have it extended for a 30-day period to allow us to review the proposed new planning agreement that provides for the use of federal funds through NDOT, and to have that brought before this board at its October meeting, hopefully for review and approval, and then for return to NDOT prior to that additional 30 days expiring at the end of October.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Are there any other items for future agendas? Then we will open it up to public comment once again. Any member of the public who wishes to address the Metropolitan Planning Organization may approach the podium. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
We have a motion. A second. All those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
The RTC meeting will commence in 5 minutes.
The RTC meeting will commence in 5 minutes.
Okay, Jason, I heard it was 4 months.
This is strictly House. This is the House. Get to the Senate, God knows what's going to happen.
Well, but if they don't move it tomorrow, the FAA gets shut down again.
Yeah, that's why I think the FAA was pulled out separately.
The FAA is part of this one, as I understand.
Yeah, okay.
The FAA and the
but it's good. They can use both
guys.
See you next month. I had some people talk to me, and I this is the traffic. This is the sign off the freeway up there coming in from the north into town, saying that, you know, what's happening is when they say next exit, that people are getting off at College and not at the business section.
Oh, in other words, they're not exiting at the hospital, they're exiting.
Right. And so they're wondering, you know, if they could move that sign back up, because I think it's so close to the exit that people are saying, well,
next meeting as to where that whole thing sits, if we're going to have a bill and money to deal with or not.
Well, certainly we'll bring whatever information we have and we can and update you. I just heard today that there was a bill that extended safety lieu and the federal gas tax for 6 months that made it out of the House. Now, I had conflicting reports that on the time frame that it wasn't 6 months, it was actually 4 months. But nonetheless, it appears as though it's in the works to have September 30th at least be extended a little bit at this point. That's the latest that I received today.
Mr. Chair, if I may, there was one thing I forgot to mention, and that is that the agreement that we have, that we, Campo, have with Nevada Department of Transportation is, we were just informed that it is set to expire later this month, and Dennis Taylor has graciously offered to have it extended for a 30-day period to allow us to review the proposed new planning agreement that provides for the use of federal funds through NDOT, and to have that brought before this board at its October meeting, hopefully for review and approval, and then for return to NDOT prior to that additional 30 days expiring at the end of October.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Are there any other items for future agendas? Then we will open it up to public comment once again. Any member of the public who wishes to address the Metropolitan Planning Organization may approach the podium. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
We have a motion. A second. All those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
The RTC meeting will commence in 5 minutes.
The RTC meeting will commence in 5 minutes.
Okay, Jason, I heard it was 4 months.
But this is strictly House. This is the House. Get to the Senate, God knows what's going to happen.
Well, but if they don't move it tomorrow, the FAA gets shut down again.
Yeah, that's why I think the FAA was pulled out separately.
The FAA is part of this one, as I understand.
Yeah, okay.
The FAA and the
But it's good. They can use
both guys. See you next month. I had some people talk to me, and this is the traffic. This was the sign off the freeway up there coming in from the north into town, saying that, you know, what's happening is say next exit, that people are getting off at College and not at the business section.
Oh, in other words, they're not exiting at the hospital, they're exiting.
Right. And So they're wondering, you know, if they could move that sign back up, because I think it's so close to the exit that people are saying, well, it's not this exit, it's next exit.
Well, it's still taking to Carson City, but a little further south.
Well, the people who talk to me are the ones who are right down there on North Carson Street.
Why don't we hand that to Jason?
Okay. Hey, Jason?
Yeah.
Can we see a half a second here? Just come up front. Hey, I got a call yesterday from some folks on North Carson Street who are concerned that the placement of the downtown Carson City exit sign coming from the north-south is so close to the exit that people are assuming that the exit they're talking about is a College Parkway exit.
Okay.
And they're, so they're not exiting, you know, and the, this one says business exit. It doesn't say downtown. So they're wondering if there's some way where we could move the sign back up the hill or something. I don't know if you could take a look at it. I just say this, a lot of people are exiting College Parkway and they're not exiting downtown. All right.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know if they've all been sold.
Sabrina's at NES Fallon today.
Oh boy, what's she doing out there?
Oh, they're giving him a dog and pony show. I told her to make darn sure she got in a FNA 18 cockpit.
Yeah, man, if they should. Boy, that'd be fun to be in. You know, I ought to send over to you. Somebody sent me a picture of the inside of the shuttle, the cockpit of the shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen that.
No.
There's one where you can, you know, go inside and rotate around and see everything in the shuttle. I'll send that over to you.
Okay.
It's a fascinating little.
You know, the thing that I'm going into a cockpit, remember the first time I flew into Stockton Airport, and my folks lived about 45 minutes from there. And so I'd, a lot of times we'd go over and do touch and goes. And so I'd pull off and I called my dad and I said, come on over and I'll show you around. And of course, I put him up in the cockpit and he looks around and he said, my God, do you know all of this stuff? I said, Dad, not only do you know, you have to know it blindfolded because, you know, what happens if smoke comes in the cockpit or so on. You got it. And I said, look down to the side. Oh, my God, there's more buttons down there.
Right.
And so I always remember, you know, his reaction several times ago, sitting in the cockpit.
Yes, it is.
Okay, are we ready?
Ready.
So is that okay when I nominated Jeff?
Absolutely.
Sure.
If you hadn't, I would have, because I had a right here. Jeff Holtz, vice chair.
We want to bring Douglas County.
We discussed that before you got here.
Oh, okay. Well, orchestrated.
I assumed that you had it orchestrated. That's why I was quick to jump in there.
Yeah, no.
I see that.
The three of us had already discussed it. It's going to be Jeff.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let's go ahead and call this meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission to order. The date is Wednesday, September 14th, 2011. We're in the Sierra Room here at the Community Center. Kathy, could you please call the roll to determine a quorum?
Chairperson Aldean.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Mallory.
Here.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Here.
Commissioner Kroll.
Here.
Commissioner Desjardins.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Regional Transportation Commission may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the Regional Transportation Commission. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. If your item requires extended discussion, please contact me after the meeting and we'll make arrangements to calendar your matter for a future RTC meeting. Are there any public comments? Maurice? No. Okay. All right. Seeing no public comments, we'll close public comment, move on to the next item, agenda management notice. Any changes to the agenda? Patrick.
I will just note it's not on here, but if anybody missed it, there are no minutes on here because they were not available.
Because Kathy had more important things to do.
Yeah. Yes. That's her business. And we did not receive the street operations report, which is item G1.
It's exit, it's next exit.
Well, it's still taking to Carson City, but a little further south.
Well, okay, the people who talked to me are the ones who are right down there on North Carson Street.
Why don't we hand that to Jason?
Okay. Cool. Hey, Jason?
Yeah.
Can we see a half a second here? Just come up front. I got a call yesterday from some folks on North Carson Street who are concerned that the placement of the downtown Carson City exit sign coming from the north-south
Yes.
is so close to the exit that people are assuming that the exit they're talking about is a College Parkway exit.
Okay.
And they're, so they're not exiting, you know, and the, this one says business exit and doesn't say downtown. So they were wondering if there's some way where we could maybe move the sign back up the hill or something. I don't know if you could take a look at it. I just say this, a lot of people are exiting College Parkway and they're not going to send the horses downtown. Thank you, Mr.
I don't know if they've all been so far. There's a, I will just have just a couple thousand dollars for a year over a month or two, and then
that's why I'm very
sensitive. Well, it was supposed to be only they could go up.
Sabrina's at NES Fallon today.
Oh boy, what's she doing out there?
Oh, they're giving him a dog and pony show. I told her to make darn sure she got in a FNA 18 cockpit.
Yeah, if they could. Boy, that'd be a fun thing. You know, I ought to send over to you. Somebody sent me a picture of the inside of the shuttle, the cockpit of the shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen that.
No.
The one where you can, you know, go inside and rotate around and see everything in the shuttle. I'll send that over to you.
Okay.
It's a fascinating movie.
You know, the thing that I'm going into a cockpit, remember the first time I flew into Stockton Airport, and my folks lived about 45 minutes from there. And so I'd, a lot of times we'd go over and do touch and goes. And so I'd pull off and I called my dad and I said, come on over and I'll show you around. And of course, I put him up in the cockpit and he looks around and he said, my God, do you know all of this stuff? I said, Dad, not only do you know, you have to know it blindfolded because, you know, what happens if smoke comes in the cockpit or so on. You got it. And I said, look down to the side. Oh, my God, there's more buttons down there.
Down there, man. That's right.
And so I always remember, you know, his reaction several times ago, sitting in the cockpit.
Yes, it is.
Okay, are we
ready?
So is that okay when I nominated Jeff?
Absolutely.
Sure.
If you hadn't, I would have, because I had him right here.
Hey,
Jeff Holtz, Vice
we
Chair.
Want to bring Douglas County.
We discussed that before you got here.
Oh, okay. Well, orchestrated.
I assumed that you had it orchestrated. That's why I was quick to jump in there.
Yeah, no.
I see that.
The three of us had already discussed it. It's going to be Jeff.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let's go ahead and call this meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission to order. The date is Wednesday, September 14th, 2011. We're in the Sierra Room here at the Community Center. Kathy, could you please call the roll to determine a quorum?
Chairperson Aldean.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Mallory.
Here.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Here.
Commissioner Kroll.
Here.
Commissioner Desjardins.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Regional Transportation Commission may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the Regional Transportation Commission. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. If your item requires extended discussion, please contact me after the meeting and we'll make arrangements to calendar your matter for a future RTC meeting. Are there any public comments? Maurice? No. Okay. All right, seeing no public comments, we'll close public comment, move on to the next item, agenda management notice. Any changes to the agenda, Patrick?
I will just note it's not on here, but if anybody missed it, there are no minutes on here because they were not available.
Because Kathy had more important things to do.
Yeah. Yes. That's her business. And we did not receive the street operations report, which is item G1.
Okay, so we'll just double up next month?
Yes, we will double up next month.
Okay, all right, thank you. Moving on to item D, disclosures. Does any member of the commission wish to disclose or explain any contact with the public regarding any item on this evening's agenda or any business of the commission? All right?
No.
Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. There are two items on the consent agenda, items E1 and E2. Does any member of the commission or any member of the public wish to have either one of these items or both removed for separate consideration? All right, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission. Would somebody care to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Madam Chair, I move that we approve the consent agenda as indicated, E1 and E2.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So move. Thank you. Moving on to the public meeting items. Item F1, a contract with Rapid Construction. Darren, is this you or you, Patrick?
This is an item for possible action to determine that Rapid Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsible bidder for a project to install the Carson City Gateway signage project. A bid amount of $320,032 with a contingency of approximately 10% of $32,000. I will note, as included in the packet, there were three bidders, and this was the low bidder, as you can note there. And just here's something that all the technicalities are covered here in the report that you have reviewed, but I want to point out that our grant for this project was a 50-50 grant with state community match funds for $210,500, with a total possible expenditure of $421,000. And the fact that this bid came in at the level that it did will allow us to use those grant funds to capture some of our other expenses outside of this contract related to engineering, design, and construction management inspection services.
So that's great.
We will still do everything in our powers to capture all those grant funds available to us.
And when we come to Darren's portion of the agenda, I'm assuming we're going to amend the project status sheet to reflect the new, what I assume is going to be a relatively firm price for the project, pending no yes. change orders that are too expensive. And I assume, just for the record, Jeff, that we have, there was one bid alternate, and that has been incorporated into the contract price, and that includes basically the use of a natural stone veneer as opposed to a simulated stone. Is that correct?
For the record, Jeff Sharp, city engineer. Actually, our bid alternate, our original design included the real stone,
mm-hmm.
and so the bid alternate was to not use the real stone, so that it was a deductive bid alternate. We're not choosing the deduction.
Right.
So we're going to go with the more expensive option. It's about a $10,000 difference. Since the bids came in favorable, we decided that we should go with basically use the real stone and
right.
not the artificial stone. So.
Right. So we're using that natural thin stone.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're not using the deductive bid alternate is
Good.
The way to say that.
Good. Okay. And that's reflected in the total bid price.
It is,
and
yes.
in that $10,000-some-odd addition. Okay. All right. Well, my fellow commissioners may not share my enthusiasm, but I am really looking forward to getting underway. I think it's going to be these entryway signs are going to be very impressive, and they're going to announce to the world that they are now entering Carson City because we can't even get them off the freeway at the right exit. So
I share your enthusiasm because I just – showed NDOT the question that a property owner on North Carson Street showed a visual of the signage that says downtown business next exit, and their concern is that what's happening there is that that's so close to the exit that people are, instead of getting off at where the hospital is, they're getting off at College Parkway and assuming that's the next exit. So I asked Jason to take a look at. It seems to me that maybe we need to move that sign back, but the reason I'm mentioning that from the enthusiasm standpoint is that I share the chair's enthusiasm, because I think the signage will help. This signage will help tell people where the exit is as well. So,
If I may, I was just sharing with the chair that one of the things we were making sure was that.
This will just double up next month?
Yes, we will double up next month.
Okay, all right, thank you. Moving on to item D, disclosures. Does any member of the commission wish to disclose or explain any contact with the public regarding any item on this evening's agenda or any business of the commission? All right.
No.
Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. There are two items on the consent agenda, items E1 and E2. Does any member of the commission or any member of the public wish to have either one of these items or both removed for separate consideration? All right, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission. Would somebody care to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Madam Chair, I move that we approve the consent agenda as indicated, E1 and E2.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So move. Thank you. Moving on to the public meeting items, item F1, a contract with Rapid Construction. Darren, is this you or you, Patrick?
This is an item for possible action to determine that Rapid Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsible bidder for a project to install the Carson City Gateway signage project, a bid amount of $320,032 with a contingency of approximately 10% of $32,000. I will note, as included in the packet, there were three bidders, and this was the low bidder, as you can note there. And just there's something that all the technicalities are covered here in the report that you have reviewed, but I want to point out that our grant for this project was a 50-50 grant with state community match funds for $210,500, with a total possible expenditure of $421,000. And the fact that this bid came in at the level that it did will allow us to use those grant funds to capture some of our other expenses outside of this contract related to engineering, design, and construction management inspection services.
So that's great.
We will still do everything in our powers to capture all those grant funds available to us.
And when we come to Darren's portion of the agenda, I'm assuming we're going to amend the project status sheet to reflect the new, what I assume is going to be a relatively firm price project, pending no yes. change orders that are too expensive. And I assume, just for the record, Jeff, that we have, there was one bid alternate, and that has been incorporated into the contract price, and that includes basically the use of a natural stone veneer as opposed to a simulated stone. Is that correct?
For the record, Jeff Sharp, city engineer. Actually, our bid alternate, our original design included the real stone, and so the bid alternate was to not use the real stone, so that it was a deductive bid alternate. We're not choosing the deduction.
Right.
So we're going to go with the more expensive option. It's about a $10,000 difference. Since the bids came in favorable, we decided that we should go with basically use the real stone and
right.
not the artificial stone. So.
Right. So we're using that natural thin stone.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're not using the deductive bid alternate is
Good.
The way to say that.
Good. Okay. And that's reflected in the total bid price.
It is,
and
yes.
in that $10,000-some-odd addition. Okay. All right. Well, my fellow commissioners may not share my enthusiasm, but I am really looking forward to getting underway. I think it's going to be these entryway signs are going to be very impressive, and they're going to announce to the world that they are now entering Carson City because we can't even get them off the freeway at the right exit. So
I share your enthusiasm because I just – showed NDOT the question that a property owner on North Carson Street showed a visual of the signage that says downtown business next exit, and their concern is that what's happening there is that that's so close to the exit that people are, instead of getting off at where the hospital is, they're getting off at College Parkway and assuming that's the next exit. So I asked Jason to take a look at. It seems to me that maybe we need to move that sign back, but the reason I'm mentioning that from the enthusiasm standpoint is that I share the chair's enthusiasm, because I think the signage will help. This signage will help tell people where the exit is as well. So,
If I may, I was just sharing with the chair that one of the things we were making sure was that where this sign will go at the north end would not be in conflict with the freeway service signs that say gas, food, and lodging and the like. And I made sure that all of Jeff's plans weren't going to be for naught, because the plans for those freeway service signs are further to the north, specifically frankly just south of the county line, to allow for a person to make a decision of, do I want to get off at this exit for this business that is advertised on these signs?
Right.
That there's no conflict. That was the key.
Terrific.
And that's great. I can add that our gateway sign project on the north end, the physical location is actually on the exit, the North Carson Street exit going off towards the hospital, so that you can still see it very well. We're going to raise it up above the barrier rail there, and so you'd be able to see it from all the lanes of the freeway. But as you're driving down, that's the sign is actually well into the exit ramp, because that's really the only place that was available to put it. But I think it'll be a really good spot, and it will have a tendency to for people to see that, oh, that's, if I want to go to Carson City, that's the exit I want to take, because, you know, they'll already see the exit, and they still have time to get over there too.
That's great. And Jeff, all of these are going to be illuminated using solar panels.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm excited about that.
And we're still looking at a September 26th start date.
Yes.
Okay. Great. All right. And we will have an unveiling in the middle of winter. Is that the December?
Madam Chair, you are by far and away not the most excited person about this project, though the mayor has been a bit subdued over this. I know that he's very excited, and I am too, especially the solar panels, because I think that having the solar panels demonstrates to the world that we may not be a bicycle-friendly community, but we engage in the use of sustainable energy.
There we go.
I think it's beautiful.
Okay, we should get credit for that.
Yep. So we're signs will be lit front and back too. So we'll have not only a welcome to Carson City greeting, but also a thank you for coming. So that's important.
As long as we don't say, you all come back now.
Right.
Okay, let's avoid that if we can. So we're looking at a completion date of December 23rd. So do we have an idea of when we're going to have the official unveiling?
Not yet. We need to play by ear. We're allowing the contract allows 4 months for project completion, so that will put us into January if they take the full 4 months. We're not anticipating that at this point, but you never know what can happen. What we anticipate is the contractor will get started with the earthwork and the substructure for the signs and get that done in the next couple of months while we still have the good weather, and then the sign fabrication will be done. That's the long lead time typically on these projects, and so once the signs are ready, then they'll just come and bolt the signs up and everything will already be in place. But, you know, contractors do what they want to do, and we give them the amount of time in the contract, and so they're, you know, they have the ability to use all of that time. So it's possible we may have an unveiling not until January, okay, but we'll see.
It'll be I'll keep you posted. Synchronized unveiling at all three locations?
Yeah, that'd be neat.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. Jeff, thank you for ramrodding this, and it's nice to see that we're finally on our way. Okay. Any questions from members of the public? And I'm looking specifically at Maurice. Maurice, do you have any burning questions you want to ask about the gateway signs? Oh, no. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's bring it back to members of the commission. Any further questions regarding this item? All right. If not, I will entertain a motion. I think Commissioner Carpenter would like to make that motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to determine that Rapid Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1011-242, Carson City Gateway Signage Project, for a bid amount of $320,032, which does not include a deductive bid alternative, plus a contingency amount not to exceed $32,000 to be funded from the RTC Carson City Gateway Signage Project Fund account as provided in fiscal year 2011-2012.
An exuberant second.
Exuberant second, okay. All right. Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you, gentlemen.
Exuberant aye.
Good work.
Okay, I'm not going to let you get the best.
Next up.
Where this sign will go at the north end would not be in conflict with the freeway service signs that say gas, food, and lodging and the like. And I made sure that all of Jeff's plans weren't going to be for naught, because the plans for those freeway service signs are further to the north, specifically frankly just south of the county line, to allow for a person to make a decision of, do I want to get off at this exit for this business that is advertised on these signs.
Right.
That there's no conflict. That was the key.
Terrific.
And our, that's great. Yeah. I can add that our gateway sign project on the north end, the physical location is actually on the exit, the North Carson Street exit going off towards the hospital, so that you can still see it very well. We're going to raise it up above the barrier rail there, and so you'd be able to see it from all the lanes of the freeway. But as you're driving down, that's the sign is actually well into the exit ramp, because that's really the only place that was available to put it. But I think it'll be a really good spot, and it will have a tendency to for people to see that, oh, that's, if I want to go to Carson City, that's the exit I want to take, because, you know, they'll already see the exit, and they still have time to get over there too.
That's great. And Jeff, all of these are going to be illuminated using solar panels.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm excited about that.
And we're still looking at a September 26th start date.
Yes.
Okay. Great. All right. And we will have an unveiling in the middle of winter. Is that the December?
Madam Chair, you are by far and away not the most excited person about this project, though the mayor has been a bit subdued over this. I know that he's very excited, and I am too, especially the solar panels, because I think that having the solar panels demonstrates to the world that we may not be a bicycle-friendly community, but we engage in the use of sustainable energy.
There we go.
I think it's beautiful.
Okay, we should get credit for that.
Yep. So we're signs will be lit front and back, too. So we'll have not only a welcome to Carson City greeting, but also a thank you for coming. So that's important.
As long as we don't say, you all come back now.
Right, yeah.
Let's avoid that if we can. So we're looking at a completion date of December 23rd. So do we have an idea of when we're going to have the official unveiling?
Not yet. We need to play by ear. We're allowing the contract allows 4 months for project completion, so that will put us into January if they take the full 4 months. We're not anticipating that at this point, but you never know what can happen. What we anticipate is the contractor will get started with the earthwork and the substructure for the signs and get that done in the next couple of months while we still have the good weather, and then the sign fabrication will be done. That's the long lead time typically on these projects, and so once the signs are ready, then they'll just come and bolt the signs up and everything will already be in place. But, you know, contractors do what they want to do, and we give them the amount of time in the contract, and so they're, you know, they have the ability to use all of that time. So it's possible we may have an unveiling not until January, okay, but we'll see.
Could be a synchronized unveiling at all three locations.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. Jeff, thank you for ramrodding this, and yeah, it's nice to see that we're finally on our way. Okay. Any questions from members of the public? And I'm looking specifically at Maurice. Maurice, do you have any burning questions you want to ask about the gateway signs? Oh, no. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's bring it back to members of the commission. Any further questions regarding this item? All right. If not, I will entertain a motion. I think Commissioner Carpenter would like to make that motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to determine that Rapid Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1011-242, Carson City Gateway Signage Project, for a bid amount of $320,032, which does not include
deduct a bid alternative plus a contingency amount not to exceed $32,000 to be funded from the RTC Carson City Gateway Signage Project Fund account as provided in fiscal year 2011-2012.
An exuberant second.
Exuberant second. Okay. All right. Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you, gentlemen.
An exuberant aye.
Good work.
Okay, I'm not going to let you get the best.
Next item on the agenda is item F2, information on the proposed VNT shuttle to connect downtown Carson with the area hotels to the East Gate Depot.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Ken Smithson, Transit Coordinator. Good evening. I wanted to let you know that we have been meeting with the Convention and Visitors Bureau. There is high interest in a project of this sort, and a recent survey as well of users of the VNT indicated an interest, especially from visitors to area hotels. Of course, we have to understand that's a turnover market, so it'd have to be a constant marketing effort to the hotels. But there is interest there. We've also learned from the Convention and Visitors Bureau that there is no funding from that source. So we're looking for further direction on this project.
Well, Ken, did you have a chance to speak with any of the lodging properties? I know that there's, you know, they have been desperately looking for a way of making the railroad more relevant to their businesses, because unfortunately people are staying in places other than Carson City. And of course, it's all about putting heads in beds. So, you know, I guess my suggestion to you would be to do some outreach to the members of the hotel and lodging group. You know, we've toyed with the idea of a room tax increase. I don't know if it would be allocated to this. I mean, obviously, that's something that's that would have to be discussed with the Convention and Visitors Bureau and with the Board of Supervisors ultimately. But I know there are a lot of people vying for that funding source, but I think we need to at least engage the lodging properties to see if we can build some momentum for this project. Because what I'd ultimately like to do, obviously, we have to, as I understand it, we have to go out with an RFP. We have to have some sort of, and the RFP doesn't necessarily have to include a funding source, right? If somebody wants to undertake this with no subsidy, thinking that it might be a viable way of making money, they can do that. And if they choose not to, if there are no people who respond or no companies that respond to the RFP, then that gives us license to look at providing that service independently of the private sector. Is that an accurate statement for the most part?
If I may, it's actually not an RFP that would be necessary. It's simple. There's a list of registered charter operators throughout the country, mm-hmm. and as the transit provider, we're obligated to notify them by email and keep a record of all communications by email.
Okay.
And that's the process that we go through.
Okay. Well, I'm only one member of this commission, but I think it's something worth pursuing, and I think if the next step is to notify them of this opportunity to provide transit service, I don't know how specific we have to be, Ken, in terms of establishing a destination for the shuttle. Obviously, it would service the East Gate Depot and come into Carson City, stop at various points of interest, provide service to the various lodging properties. I'm assuming that we would have to give them that sort of detail.
Yes.
Right?
Type of vehicles.
Right.
Service hours.
Right.
Yes.
I think we should proceed in that direction and see if anybody responds. If they don't, then I think we should, you know, we should meet with the lodging properties, see if there's a way of finding some funding. We can also, I don't know if there's any funding available through federal grants for this sort of thing.
Not for a charter type service, no.
And that would be considered a charter and not merely an extension of our existing?
Correct.
Jack system?
That was the opinion of FTA, yes.
Okay. All right. But I think it's still something worth pursuing. I think to the extent that we can make the VNT more relevant to our innkeepers, the better. So that would be my recommendation. Commissioner Desjardins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ken, I wanted to get a little more of a handle on the position or the perceived involvement by the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Now, you indicated that they don't have any money, but do they see a place for them? Are they helping us look? May they may not have any money at this point in time. I guess I'm interested in what their role is. Perhaps they see no role, and the role is ours. So could you maybe reflect on what I've commented on?
That's kind of the impression that we've received, too, that they're looking for us to do something. And so the idea of approaching the hotelers themselves, we didn't take that initiative. We kind of thought they might do that, but apparently not.
Well, go ahead, Mr. We're having a joint meeting with the CCBB. I think we are, anyway. Last I heard, 2 hours ago, so could change.
The agenda is item F2, information on the proposed VMT shuttle to connect downtown Carson with the area hotels to the East Gate Depot.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Ken Smithson, Transit Coordinator. Good evening. I wanted to let you know that we have been meeting with the Convention and Visitors Bureau. There is high interest in a project of this sort, and a recent survey as well of users of the VNT indicated an interest, especially from visitors to area hotels. Of course, we have to understand that's a turnover market, so it'd have to be a constant marketing effort to the hotels. But there is interest there. We've also learned from the Convention and Visitors Bureau that there is no funding from that source. So we're looking for further direction on this project.
Well, Ken, did you have a chance to speak with any of the lodging properties? I know that there's, you know, they have been desperately looking for a way of making the railroad more relevant to their businesses, because unfortunately people are staying in places other than Carson City. And of course, it's all about putting heads in beds. So, you know, I guess my suggestion to you would be to do some outreach to the members of the hotel and lodging group. You know, we've toyed with the idea of a room tax increase. I don't know if it would be allocated to this. I mean, obviously, that's something that's that would have to be discussed with the Convention and Visitors Bureau and with the Board of Supervisors ultimately. But I know there are a lot of people vying for that funding source, but I think we need to at least engage the lodging properties to see if we can build some momentum for this project. Because what I'd ultimately like to do, obviously we have to, as I understand it, we have to go out with an RFP. We have to have some sort of, and the RFP doesn't necessarily have to include a funding source, right? If somebody wants to undertake this with no subsidy, thinking that it might be a viable way of making money, they can do that. And if they choose not to, if there are no people who respond or no companies that respond to the RFP, then that gives us license to look at providing that service independently of the private sector. Is that an accurate statement for the most part?
If I may, it's actually not an RFP that would be necessary. It's simple. There's a list of registered charter operators throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And as the transit provider, we're obligated to notify them by email and keep a record of all communications by email.
Okay.
And that's the process that we go through.
Okay. Well, I'm only one member of this commission, but I think it's something worth pursuing. And I think if the next step is to notify them of this opportunity to provide transit service, I don't know how specific we have to be, Ken, in terms of establishing a destination for the shuttle. Obviously, it would service the East Gate Depot and come into Carson City, stop at various points of interest, provide service to the various lodging properties. I'm assuming that we would have to give them that sort of detail.
Yes,
right?
Type of vehicles,
right.
Service hours.
Right.
Yes.
I think we should proceed in that direction and see if anybody responds. If they don't, then I think we should, you know, we should meet with the lodging properties, see if there's a way of finding some funding. We can also, I don't know if there's any funding available through federal funding, federal grants for this sort of thing.
Not for a charter type service, no.
And that would be considered a charter and not merely an extension of our existing?
Correct.
Jack system?
That was the opinion of FTA, yes.
Okay. All right. But I think it's still something worth pursuing. I think to the extent that we can make the VNT more relevant to our innkeepers, the better. So that would be my recommendation. Commissioner Desjardins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ken, I wanted to get a little more of a handle on the position or the perceived involvement by the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Now, you indicated that they don't have any money, but do they see a place for them, or are they helping us look. They may not have any money at this point in time. I guess I'm interested in what their role is. Perhaps they see no role, and the role is ours. So could you maybe reflect on what I've commented on?
That's kind of the impression that we've received, too, that they're looking for us to do something. And so the idea of approaching the hotelers themselves, we didn't take that initiative. We kind of thought they might do that, but apparently not.
Well, go ahead, Mr. We're having a joint meeting with the CCBB. I think we are anyway. Last I heard, 2 hours ago, so could change. But, you know, maybe you and I ought to raise, because the hotels will be there, maybe we ought to raise the issue. I mean, I don't know that we need to have a specific agenda item on it, but I think that, you know, we'll be discussing things about all tourist destinations, and I think we could ask those questions about, you know, what's the level of interest of doing that.
You know, I think it might be helpful also to have some idea of what the operating expenses would be. In other words, we need to kind of a ballpark of what it's going to cost. Obviously, the railroad is only operating 3 days a week during the summer months. But I think that we need to give them at least a general idea of what we're looking at in terms of funding demands.
We can provide that.
Okay. All right. That would be great. Does everyone concur that this is something worth pursuing?
Yeah, and I think that
it probably wouldn't be all that obscure to ask Story County if they want to consider participating in this, or the railroad. I mean, because Story County is the ones that stands to gain from this, as well as the hotel owners, as well as the railroad. So I think that they all could be considered interested parties. They might, I mean, there might be, their visitor bureau might have some funds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe not.
I think their inclination is to want people to stay in Virginia City. I mean, obviously, they have the same concerns we have about putting heads in beds. We can certainly approach them, Russ. I think that's fine. I mean, they and Carson City, frankly, have made the single largest contributions to the VNT reconstruction project. So,
twice.
Yeah.
In the 1800s and then again.
Right, exactly, exactly. So I think the mayor's recommendation, and do we have a tentative date for that meeting?
I don't think so, but, you know, the next V&T Railroad Commission meeting is October 10th, I understand, and so I think the agenda's out on that, but I will raise it under public comment and just get the ball moving there and see.
That would be great. I mean, I think that, you know, you might have, for example, an opportunity through the Downtown Business Association for them to raise some capital, you know, to help bring that shuttle into downtown Carson City. Because they would certainly benefit, you know, from bringing those visitors further into Carson City. Because I think, realistically, the probability of bringing the train into downtown Carson City is pretty remote. Mm-hmm. So this is the closest we're going to get. So do you have enough? Does that give you enough direction,
yes.
Ken? Okay, if you can just put those figures together, then Bob will raise the issue at the October meeting of the Railway Commission. And then when we meet jointly with the Convention and Visitors Bureau and the lodging properties, we can pursue it further.
Okay, thank you.
Sounds great. Thanks, Ken. Any members of the public wish to? Poor Maurice. You might want to come and put a bag over your head the next time so I don't single you out. Okay, seeing no public comment then, we will move on to the next item on the agenda, which is item F2, and that's yours as well, Ken.
F3.
This is the interlocal agreement.
Yes, it's been, what, a year since Campo turned over the model for the supposed triangle service. And finally, we have an operating plan in place and an agreement to bring to RTC. TTD has already reviewed it themselves and approved it, and Douglas County is going through the process as well. So it's a three-party agreement, and the proposed starting date for this triangle service that we hope they'll market it under a more attractive name eventually, but the proposed starting date is October 1st.
Ken, I noticed in the agreement under paragraph 4 service plan, there's still a little uncertainty about where the bus, what bus stop in Carson City it will service. It says either Fuji Park or the transfer center in Carson.
I think the reason for that is because there will be a combination of those destinations based on the service hour.
Okay. Bus stops, are we being required? Are we contemplating any improvements, or will we be using our existing bus stops?
Existing bus stops.
Okay. And with respect to marketing, are we going to be required to reprint our route map, or can we just use an insert?
We're at a time where we need to reprint anyway, so we're going to redesign the route map and go out to print for a new batch here in October.
Okay. And I guess the only other question I had is whether or not it previously weren't we contributing, allocating our share of some federal dollars, but we're not being asked to do that? In this
case? We are not being asked.
Well, that's good. Okay. All right. Here's my question.
But, you know, maybe you and I ought to raise, because the hotels will be there, maybe we ought to raise the issue. I mean, I don't know that we need to have a specific agenda item on it, but I think that, you know, we'll be discussing things about all tourist destinations, and I think we could ask those questions about, you know, what's the level of interest of doing that.
You know, I think it might be helpful also to have some idea of what the operating expenses would be. In other words, we need to kind of a ballpark of what it's going to cost. Obviously, the railroad is only operating 3 days a week during the summer months. But I think that we need to give them at least a general idea of what we're looking at in terms of funding demands.
We can provide that.
Okay. All right. That would be great. Does everyone concur that this is something worth pursuing?
Yeah, and I think that it probably wouldn't be all that obscure to ask Story County if they want to consider participating in this, or the railroad. I mean, because Story County is the ones that stands to gain from this, as well as the hotel owners, as well as the railroad. So I think that they all could be considered interested parties. They might, I mean, there might be, their visitor bureau might have some funds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe not.
I think their inclination is to want people to stay in Virginia City. I mean, obviously they have the same concerns we have about putting heads in beds. We can certainly approach them, Russ. I think that's fine. I mean, they in Carson City, frankly, have made the single largest contributions to the VNT reconstruction project. So,
twice.
Yeah.
In the 1800s and then again.
Right, exactly, exactly. So I think the mayor's recommendation, and do we have a tentative date for that meeting?
I don't think so, but, you know, the next VNT Railroad Commission meeting is October 10th, I understand, and so I think the agenda's out on that, but I will raise it under public comment and just get the ball moving there. See.
That would be great. I mean, I think that, you know, you might have, for example, an opportunity through the Downtown Business Association for them to raise some capital, you know, to help bring that shuttle into downtown Carson City, because they would certainly benefit, you know, from bringing those visitors further into Carson City, because I think realistically the probability of bringing the train into downtown Carson City is pretty remote. Mm-hmm. So this is the closest we're going to get. So do you have enough? Does that give you enough direction,
yes.
Ken? Okay. If you can just put those figures together, then Bob will raise the issue at the October meeting of the Railway Commission, and then when we meet jointly with the Convention and Visitors Bureau and the lodging properties, we can pursue it further.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks, Ken. Any members of the public wish to... Poor Maurice. You might want to come and put a bag over your head the next time. So. So I don't single you out. Okay, seeing no public comment then, we will move on to the next item on the agenda, which is item F2, and that's yours as well.
F3.
F3. F2?
Yeah.
F3. This is the interlocal agreement.
Yes, it's been, what, a year since Campo turned over the model for the supposed triangle service. And finally, we have an operating plan in place and an agreement to bring to RTC. TTD has already reviewed it themselves and approved it, and Douglas County is going through the process as well. So it's a three-party agreement, and the proposed starting date for this triangle service that we hope they'll market it under a more attractive name eventually, but the proposed starting date is October 1st.
Ken, I noticed in the agreement under paragraph 4 service plan, there's still a little uncertainty about where the bus, what bus stop in Carson City it will service. It says either Fuji Park or the transfer center in Carson.
I think the reason for that is because there will be a combination of those destinations based on the service hour.
Okay. Bus stops, are we being required? Are we contemplating any improvements, or will we be using our existing bus stops?
Existing bus stops.
Okay. And with respect to marketing, are we going to be required to reprint our route map, or can we just use an insert?
We're at a time where we need to reprint anyway, so we're going to redesign the route map and go out to print for a new batch here in October.
Okay. And I guess the only other question I had is whether or not it previously weren't we contributing, allocating our share of some federal dollars, but we're not being asked to do that?
We are not being asked.
Well, that's good. Okay. All right. Those are my questions. Mr. Mayor, did you have a question? Oh, Jim.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ken, I think this is a wonderful opportunity to bring this service to bear. It's been talked about, at least in my knowledge, since 1979. And I commend you for staying on top of it and making it happen. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Yes, Mr. Mayor.
I have a potential disclosure. You have to help me. My son-in-law, who's been my son-in-law for a year, I think works as a consultant to a consultant who's working with Tahoe Transportation. His name is Buzz Harris. Is he involved in this in any way?
I don't know. I've not run across that name.
Buzz Harris.
What firm is he with?
He's with his own independent firm, but
no, I don't recall the connection to this particular project. TTD is a lot of consultants.
Well,
I'm going to
disclose and vote that. I mean, I don't think he's involved in this, but just out of an abundance of caution. He's a contractor to a contractor, so that's how those things work.
You know, the main contractor that TTD has employed is LSC Transportation Consultants. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't think that's it.
Gordon Shaw, yeah.
I should know more about what my son-in-law is doing, but he's his own person.
Yeah. All right. Terrific. Ken, this is great, and I'm assuming that you'll be back before us periodically letting us know hopefully how successful the commuter service is.
Absolutely.
How many passengers are being accommodated. That would be great. Okay. Wonderful. Any further questions for Ken? Any comments from members of the audience? All right. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the Commission for action. Would somebody care to make a motion?
Madam Chair, I move to approve an interlocal cooperative agreement between Tahoe Transportation District, Carson City RTC, and Douglas County for the provision of regular fixed route commuter express public transit service between South Lake Tahoe, Carson City, and Minden Gardnerville, and authorize the chair to execute the agreement on behalf of the RTC.
Second. Thank you. All right. Second. Are there any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Good work. All right. Moving on to the next item, internal communications, street operations report. We have no street operations report, as Patrick indicated, but that will be brought to us at the next meeting in October. G2 project status report. Darren has provided us with an update on ongoing projects. Any questions regarding any of the projects? Or Darren, do you have anything?
I was just going to hit a couple of the highlights. Shelley, the Carson Freeway landscaping project, we're hoping for our encroachment permit from NDOT any day, and we can actually put boots on the ground, although there's been a gap of time. Work has been going on. A material notice to proceed was issued to the contractor, and they're building the various artwork that's going to be displayed. So there is work going on. It's just not being set up yet in the right-of-way, but we anticipate that soon. You've got the update on the gateway sign, and then our slurry seal project is going on in the southeast side of town where we were doing all the crack filling, and that's going on in earnest, and certainly will impact a lot of people, but it's relatively quick. So.
Okay, good. So we haven't gotten too many complaints about inconveniencing drivers.
The normal.
Not that you want to disclose, right? Okay. All right. That's great. Any questions of Darren? All right. Seeing none.
Wait. If you don't mind.
On this side.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll just.
Okay.
Two things. First one, Russ asked me to share. It's not about that yet. Ran into Commissioner Carpenter, gave him a little bit of good news, and he asked me to share it with everybody. Last month, we broke all the ridership records for Jack. We carried over 15,500 passengers.
Wow, great.
Which broke their previous record by about 1,000. We've seen a big upswing in just general passengers. I talked to our operations folks this morning, and they said they actually saw a lot more youth riding this summer when I asked them why. We had more. And we've also trying to squeeze every little bit of dime out of everything. We figured out that we can count the building the Jack is operating as an in-kind contribution of the city, therefore raising our total expense, but also raising the amount of funds that are being donated to the cause, and therefore increasing our federal reimbursement every month, ad infinitum. So I just want you to know that we're on the transit side of things, we're continuing the good fight to both improve our service and our funding.
Mr. Mayor, did you have a question? Oh, Jim.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ken, I think this is a wonderful opportunity to bring this service to bear. It's been talked about, at least in my knowledge, since 1979. And I commend you for staying on top of it and making it happen. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Yes, Mr. Mayor.
I have a potential disclosure. You have to help me. My son-in-law, who's been my son-in-law for a year, I think works as a consultant to a consultant who's working with Tahoe Transportation. Is he in, his name is Buzz Harris. Is he involved in this in any way?
I don't know. I've not run across that name.
Buzz Harris.
What firm is he with?
He's with his own independent firm, but.
No, I don't recall a connection to this particular project. TTD is okay. A lot of consultants.
Well, I'm going to disclose and vote that. I mean, I don't think he's involved in this, but just out of an abundance of caution. He's a contractor to a contractor, so that's how those things work.
I know the main contractor that TTD has employed is LSC Transportation Consultants. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't think that's it.
Gordon Shaw, yeah.
I should know more about what my son-in-law is doing, but he's his own person.
Yeah. All right. Terrific. Ken, this is great, and I'm assuming that you'll be back before us periodically letting us know how successful the commuter service is.
Absolutely.
How many passengers are being accommodated. That would be great. Okay. Wonderful. Any further questions for Ken? Any comments from members of the audience? All right. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the Commission for action. Would somebody care to make a motion?
Madam Chair, I move to approve an interlocal cooperative agreement between Tahoe Transportation District, Carson City RTC, and Douglas County for the provision of regular fixed route commuter express public transit service between South Lake Tahoe, Carson City, and Minden Gardnerville, and authorize the chair to execute the agreement on behalf of the RTC.
Second. Thank you. All second. Right. Second. Are there any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Good work. All right. Moving on to the next item, internal communications, street operations report. We have no street operations report, as Patrick indicated, but that will be brought to us at the next meeting in October. G2, project status report. Darren has provided us with an update on ongoing projects. Any questions regarding any of the projects? Or, Darren, do you have anything?
I was just going to hit a couple of the highlights. Shelley, the Carson Freeway landscaping project, We're hoping for our encroachment permit from NDOT any day, and we can actually put boots on the ground, although there's been a gap of time. Work has been going on. A material notice to proceed was issued to the contractor, and they're building the various artwork that's going to be displayed. So there is work going on. It's just not being set up yet in the right-of-way, but we anticipate that soon. You've got the update on the Gateway sign, and then our slurry seal project is going on in the southeast side of town where we were doing all the crack filling, and that's going on in earnest, and it certainly will impact a lot of people, but it's relatively quick. So.
Okay, good. So we haven't gotten too many complaints about inconveniencing drivers.
The normal.
Not that you want to disclose, right? Okay. All right. That's great. Any questions of Darren? All right, seeing none.
Two things. First one, Russ asked me to share. It's not about that yet. I ran into Commissioner Carpenter, gave him a little bit of good news, and he asked me to share it with everybody. Last month, we broke all the ridership records for Jack. We carried over 15,500 passengers, which broke their previous record by about 1,000. We've seen a big upswing in just general passengers. I talked to our operations folks this morning, and they said they actually saw a lot more youth riding this summer when I asked them why. We had more. And we've also trying to squeeze every little bit of dime out of everything. We figured out that we can count the building the Jack is operating as an in-kind contribution of the city, therefore raising our total expense, but also raising the amount of funds that are being donated to the cause, and therefore increasing our federal reimbursement every month, ad infinitum. So I just want you to know that we're on the transit side of things, we're continuing the good fight to both improve our service and our funding.
Can I make a comment on the transit side of things there?
Yes.
You know, you raise a good point, because I was just at the Sierra Ridge senior housing opening today out there on Russell Way at the Boys and Girls Club, and several of the seniors caught me and said, hey, we love riding the Jack. It's our way around. And they were asking if it could run later in the evening, to which, you know, I gave them the answer that, you know, all things are possible with a few shekels. but, I raise that because I think, you know, one, we keep it in mind, and two, I think that, you know, it shows a level of need and necessity for some of our senior population to get use it to get around town. So I think.
So, and we've actually also seen not that it has a substantial impact on the overall ridership, we've also seen an uptick in disabled passengers on the fixed route system. Last month, we transported over 420 wheelchairs, about 3% of all riders,
mm-hmm.
which certainly impacts our operations as far as our, you know, takes a little longer to have a little wheelchair and all that good stuff. So,
this is a continuation of the little report I gave to you last month regarding out in front of Fairview there at Carson. And so Patrick took off with it.
Yes. And I'll stand over here as long as I can because there's a microphone here. As Darren had mentioned last month, and you heard from one of the residents, there's a specific concern about the inability for travelers westbound on Carson Street to be able to turn left, which is southbound on Idaho Street. Simultaneously, we have received numerous complaints and concerns from motorists, from businesses, and from law enforcement about the safety concerns in this corridor. All three of those groups have contacted us to express their concern about the maneuvers and the accident history that is in this corridor with the increase in traffic that we've seen. So what we are proposing to proceed with, as Darren mentioned last month, is the red line represents a median. There are currently no raised medians present between Roop and Carson Street on Fairview. This median would be 12 inches wide, so as to sit literally on top of where you have the double yellow now. We are not impacting the lane widths, because we already have some narrower than normal lanes. And that would continue with a break to allow for left turns into these businesses to allow the continuation of those left turns, but they'd be doing it from a turn pocket protected by those medians. And then you would retain the left turn pocket once again to get to that shopping center, including the Lowe's store, which is right there. And you'd still have basically full movements in that entire area there. So now you'd be able to have the left turns into Idaho that were previously concerned. The worst movements that we're experiencing right now are people that are making illegal left turns out of California Street onto Fairview trying to go west. That's a very bad movement to make. And similarly, people that are coming off of Carson Street trying to make a left turn into that first driveway there and being stopped by the traffic that's backed up. As you can see here, they stop right there, which is not a good place to stop halfway in or out.
Well, so, because that used to be a legal turn. People, habits are hard to break.
Yes, we understand that, but we certainly we certainly want to promote safety as best we can, and while maintaining access and actually improving access to the businesses that were lacking access to the south of Fairview Drive in this area.
Are you anticipating, Patrick, any conflicts between people making a left-hand turn onto Idaho Street and people making a left-hand turn into the Lowe's driveway? I mean, there's going to be adequate room for those two turning movements to occur simultaneously?
Yes.
Okay.
And while we're not making a raised median in that little bit of a,
right.
There's a little bit of a no man's land there because of the offset of the driveway in Idaho Street, we are... We're planning on painting a an area there to try to keep people from lingering there and hanging out where they shouldn't. That would potentially get in the way of somebody else making a turning movement.
Okay. Commissioner Carpenter.
About it.
Can I make a comment on
on
the transit side of things there?
Yes.
You know, you raise a good point because I was just at the Sierra Ridge senior housing opening today. Out there on Russell Way at the Boys and Girls Club, and several of the seniors caught me and said, "Hey, we love riding the Jack. It's our way around." And they were asking if it could run later in the evening, to which you know I gave them the answer that you know all things are possible with a few shekels. but I, you know, I raise that because I think you know one we keep it in mind, and two, I think that. You know, it shows a level of need and necessity for some of our senior population to get use it to get around town. So, I think.
So, and we've actually also seen a, not that it has a substantial impact on the overall ridership, we've also seen uptake in disabled passengers on the fixed route system. Last month, we transported over 420 wheelchairs, about 3% of all riders,
mm-hmm.
which certainly impacts our operations. As far as our, you know, takes a little longer to have a little wheelchair and all that good stuff. So,
that's great. Having said that, I will.
This is a continuation of the little report I gave to you last month regarding out in front of Fairview there at Carson. And so Patrick took off with it.
Yes. And I'll stand over here as long as I can because there's a microphone here. As Darren had mentioned last month, and you heard from one of the residents, there was a there's a specific concern about the inability for travelers westbound on Carson Street to be able to turn left, which is southbound on Idaho Street.
Mm-hmm.
Here. Simultaneously, we have received numerous complaints and concerns from motorists, from businesses, and from law enforcement about the safety concerns in this corridor. All three of those groups have contacted us to express their concern about the maneuvers and the accident history that is in this corridor with the increase in traffic that we've seen. So what we are proposing to proceed with, as Darren mentioned last month, is the red line represents a median. There are currently no raised medians present between Roop and Carson Street on Fairview. This median would be 12 inches wide so as to sit literally on top of where you have the double yellow now. We are not impacting the lane widths because we already have some narrower than normal lanes. And that would continue with a break to allow for left turns into these businesses to allow the continuation of those left turns, but they'd be doing it from a turn pocket protected by those medians. And then you would retain the left turn pocket once again to get to that shopping center, including the Lowe's store, which is right there, and you'd still have basically full movements in that entire area there. So now you'd be able to have the left turns into Idaho that were previously a concern. The worst movements that we're experiencing right now are people that are making illegal left turns out of California Street onto Fairview trying to go west. That's a very bad movement to make. And similarly, people that are coming off of Carson Street trying to make a left turn into that first driveway there and being stopped by the traffic that's backed up. As you can see here, they stop right there, which is not a good place to stop halfway in or out.
Well, because that used to be a legal turn. People, habits are hard to break.
Yes, we understand that, but we certainly we certainly want to promote safety as best we can, and while maintaining access and actually improving access to the businesses that were lacking access to the south of Fairview Drive in this area.
Are you anticipating, Patrick, any conflicts between people making a left-hand turn onto Idaho Street and people making a left-hand turn into the Lowe's driveway? I mean, there's going to be adequate room for those two turning movements to occur simultaneously?
Yes.
Okay.
And while we're not making a raised median in that little bit of a,
right.
There's a little bit of a no man's land there because of the offset of the driveway in Idaho Street, we are we were planning on painting a an area there to try to keep people from lingering there and hanging out where they shouldn't, to, that would potentially get in the way of somebody else making a turning movement.
Okay. Commissioner Carpenter.
About it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The I know that you just explained this, but I think I didn't hear you correctly. The red line there represents a raised median.
A raised median. That's
so correct. About 12 inches wide.
12 inches wide. Six
and it's going to be
tall.
Like concrete or something?
Yes, it'll be okay. Made out of concrete and colored yellow as a center line would be.
Commissioner DeSormis.
Patrick, I wanted to ask you, in trying to navigate this area, I wonder how much the public is aware that if you're in fact proceeding northbound on 395 to avoid Fairview completely is to proceed a little bit further, and you can turn right in front of where Office Depot is and cross over to get to Lowe's, as well as those other businesses are there. Do you folks see that as a problem, or does that really not add to the traffic load that we're talking about?
Well, I think that what's already occurring is that the folks that are commonly attracted to these areas to do business are learning where they want to get in and out. So, for example, someone familiar with this area, that if they're going to the office store, we'll proceed past and use that. I myself, for example, if I'm in Lowe's and I'm coming out with lumber sticking out of the back of my car, I don't make this movement. I go to the north side of the building, I come out on the Roop Street.
Yes,
you know, the locals have certainly adjusted already to a degree, but we certainly want the, you know, we want to make a stop to these dangerous movements, particularly at that location.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay.
We'll be proceeding with that. We wanted just to inform you.
Appreciate that.
Pending project.
Any further comments or questions by the commission? Any comments or questions by the audience on this item? Seeing none, we will. And are there any other questions on the monthly status report in general? No. Okay.
We can't give you a schedule on this yet, so stay tuned.
Okay, but hopefully before the snow flies.
Yeah.
Okay, right. All right, and that's just around the corner.
Part of the signage.
Yeah, right, unveiling. Unveil the median.
Yeah.
Okay, future agenda items. Patrick, Darren, Jeff?
I can tell you right now that we have, just today, as was mentioned previously, that amendment to the agreement for the Freeway Landscaping Project for that additional, that initial additional funding. NDOT said it's in the mail, so we should have that ready to go for next month. I don't know if we have any other contracts that I'm aware of.
No? Traffic, we're going to do it.
We're going to do the signal coordination at Campo. So,
how about Roof Street? Do we have an amendment to where there's no agreement? Well, there is official reassignment of those funds.
Yes,
right?
NDOT indicated just today that they will be processing that amendment, but
not
for example,
for
it took.
Okay.
3 months for this last one. So
we won't expect it on the October
No promises for next
agenda.
Month.
Okay. Okay. Anything else? We're going to have a fairly light meeting.
No, I would like to.
Yes, Jim, please.
I would like to ask Darren or Patrick, Madam Chair, if it's all right, whether we were going to, I'm a little unclear on this, whether we were going to have a follow-up of any kind on the Edmonds issue that was raised last time.
I think our plan was to... the way I understood it was to try and work with the agencies to help the issue and or the residents, and we certainly can report back. We could do another study out there on traffic. We have seen some improvements as to just from our last meeting, from what we've done, and in, the sheriff is out there on a regular basis. It's up to you, depending on what kind of formality you'd like us to come back.
I thought, and perhaps I'm wrong, but I thought that that conversation pretty much ended with at least a look at some soft improvements that could perhaps be done. Transportation control measures, TCM things.
Yeah, and we did that with additional signs and flags, and so we kind of, our idea was a stepped approach, do the minimum, see what happens, and step it up as we go along. And we are staying in contact with the resident, and you know, the, trying to get opinion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The I know that you just explained this, but I think I didn't hear you correctly. The red line there represents a raised median.
A raised median. That's
so correct. About 12 inches wide.
12 inches wide. Six
and it's going to be
tall.
Like concrete or something.
Yes, it'll be okay. Made out of concrete and colored yellow as a center line. Okay. Would be.
Commissioner DeSormes.
Patrick, I wanted to ask you, in trying to navigate this area, I wonder how much the public is aware that if you're in fact proceeding northbound on 395, to avoid Fairview completely is to proceed a little bit further, and you can turn right in front of where Office Depot is and cross over to get to Lowe's, as well as those other businesses are there. Do you folks see that as a problem, or does that really not add to the traffic load that we're talking about?
Well, I think that the, what's already occurring is that the folks that are commonly attracted to these areas to do business are learning where they want to get in and out. So, for example, someone familiar with this area, that if they're going to the office store, will proceed past and use that. I myself, for example, if I'm in Lowe's and I'm coming out with lumber sticking out of the back of my car, I don't make this movement. I go to the north side of the building. I come out on the Roop Street.
Yes.
You know, the locals have certainly adjusted already to a degree, but we certainly want the, you know, we want to make a stop to these dangerous movements, particularly at that location.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay.
We'll be proceeding with that. We wanted just to inform you.
Appreciate that.
Pending project.
Any further comments or questions by the commission? Any comments or questions by the audience on this item? Seeing none, we will, and are there any other questions on the monthly status report in general? Nope. Okay.
We can't give you a schedule on this yet, so stay tuned.
Okay, but hopefully before the snow flies?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. All right, and that's just around the corner.
Part of the signage.
Yeah, right, unveiling. Unveil the median.
Yeah.
Okay. Future agenda items. Patrick, Darren, Jeff?
I can tell you right now that we have just today, as was mentioned previously, that amendment to the agreement for the Freeway Landscaping Project for that additional, that initial additional funding is, NDOT said it's in the mail, so we should have that ready to go for next month. I don't know if we have any other contracts that I'm aware of.
No? Traffic, we're going to do it.
We're going to do it. Yeah, we're going to do the signal coordination at Campo. So,
how about Roof Street? Do we have an amendment to where there's no agreement? Well, there is an official reassignment of those funds.
Yes,
right?
And that indicated just today that they will be processing that amendment. But
not
for example,
for
it took 3 months for this last one. So
we won't expect it on the October
no promises for next
agenda.
Month.
Okay. Okay. Anything else? We're going to have a fairly light meeting.
No, I would like to.
Yes, Jim, please.
I'd like to ask Darren or Patrick, Madam Chair, if it's all right. Whether we were going to, I'm a little unclear on this, whether we were going to have a follow-up of any kind on the Edmonds issue that was raised last time.
I think our plan was to, the way I understood it was to try and work with the agencies to help the issue and or the residents, and we certainly can report back. We could do another study out there on traffic. We have seen some improvements as to just from our last meeting, from what we've done, and in, the sheriff is out there on a regular basis. It's up to you, depending on what kind of formality you'd like us to come back.
I thought, and perhaps I'm wrong, but I thought that that conversation pretty much ended with at least a look at some soft improvements that could perhaps be done. Transportation control measures, TCM things.
Yeah, and we did that with additional signs and flags, and so we kind of, our idea was a stepped approach, do the minimum, see what happens, and step it up as we go along. And we are staying in contact with the resident, and you know, that trying to get opinions from them too as to what works and what doesn't.
Thank you.
Yes, Charles, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment. I do drive that road occasionally. And I noticed the red flags on top of the mileage signs. I think it's helping. I have noticed the last couple times I haven't had people coming up behind me at, you know, 60 miles an hour type of thing. So sometimes maybe just a little small thing like the red flags drawing attention to the speed limit helps, as well as, I think, other enforcement measures. So I think we're on the right mm-hmm. track there.
What about the speed trailer? Was that ever set on Edmonds?
Yeah, I actually did. I have been in contact with the resident, and he was informed that the speed trailer is in for repairs and out for several weeks. But I did indicate to him that the appropriate time that likely to do the next speed study, the same put out the counters kind of thing, would be probably about a month from right now, because Clearview is scheduled to open right about the end of September. So the ideal thing would be to let Clearview open, give it a couple weeks, and between Clearview being open now, which will change traffic patterns, and the flags that we've put in, that would be a good time to count cars and see how fast they're going, you know, plus, of course, with the additional efforts by the sheriff.
Okay. Well, I thought Ken, when he came before us, said that they have more than one speed trailer, right? But it's, no, just one, and it's out of commission?
Yes.
Okay.
Somewhere in Sparks.
Okay.
I think it's very timely, Patrick, because aren't most of the soccer games and all the rest of the things beginning in this month as well out there?
Yes. The season started last Saturday.
Okay, well, if this is acceptable, Commissioner Mallory, if any additional problems or challenges emerge, you know, and the current steps we've taken don't prove to be adequate, then perhaps you could report back to the commission with some recommendations about what else we can do to alleviate the problem.
They've done a wonderful job on,
yes, they have,
on the Fairview issue, and something similar to that with Edmonds would be wonderful.
Okay. All right.
Welcome, Chief.
Thank you very much. All right, so we are on item H, public comment. That's our additional public comment period. If anybody would like to address any item.
Double the size of our public.
Yes, we have. We have double the size of our public. That's good to see. Would any member of the audience like to comment on any item under the purview of the RTC? All right, seeing none, we'll close public comment. And last item on the agenda is adjournment. Who would care to make a motion?
Can I actually go back? Sorry.
I'm sorry. Yes.
The second public comment can be on any item. It doesn't have to be specifically regarding matters that the RTC can hear.
Well, that's on any matters. Why would anybody speak to us about something over which we have no control?
I don't know, but I want to clarify that's the way it's written, and that's the way that the law is. I just want to clarify that so that we can make sure that we're in compliance.
Well, it's interesting because that's not how it's worded in the first public comment. It specifically says that your item requires basically members of the public who wish to address the Regional Transportation Commission may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the RTC. So why are the two different?
I'm not sure that's the way the legislature handed it down. I think that the scope of the first one is geared towards individuals who might attend a meeting but may not be able to stay throughout the whole meeting, mm-hmm. meaning that they'll want to approach, you know, maybe it's item number 6 and they're only allotted half an hour to come to the meeting. So they can come and have their opportunity to make a public comment but then be able to leave as their time allots them. But this one is broader in scope, and it is on any item, and it doesn't have to be regarding what the commission is able to hear or take action on. It's very broad in this regard, regarding this second public comment section.
Well, my only concern is it says if your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair calendar the matter for a future RTC meeting. That the implication is that the item that they want addressed does specifically relate to the business of the commission. I'm not trying to be argumentative. I just, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But, okay, would anybody care to comment on anything of any relevance?
Madam Chair, I would, yes. I would like to ask her a question.
Sure, absolutely.
As long as we're on, you're explaining some of this stuff, maybe you can help me where it says, for example, on item E2 here, and this is throughout the agenda, it says for possible action. Prior, it was an action item. And I guess my way of thinking is action, either you take action, you table the action, you don't take any action, but any one of those things is doing action. So why
them too as to what works and what doesn't.
Thank you.
Yes, Charles, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment. I do drive that road occasionally, and I noticed the red flags on top of the mileage signs. I think it's helping. I have noticed the last couple times I haven't had people coming up behind me at, you know, 60 miles an hour type of thing. So sometimes maybe just a little small thing like the red flags drawing attention to the speed limit helps, as well as I think other enforcement measures. So I think we're on the right mm-hmm. track there.
What about the speed trailer? Was that ever set on Edmonds?
Yeah, I actually did. I have been in contact with the resident, and he was informed that the speed trailer is in for repairs and out for several weeks. But I did indicate to him that the appropriate time that likely to do the next speed study, the same put out the counters kind of thing, would be probably about a month from right now because Clearview is scheduled to open right about the end of September. So the ideal thing would be to let Clearview open. Give it a couple of weeks, and between Clearview being open now, which will change traffic patterns, and the flags that we've put in, that would be a good time to count cars and see how fast they're going, you know, plus, of course, with the additional efforts by the sheriff.
Okay. Well, I thought Ken, when he came before us, said that they have more than one speed trailer, right? But it's, no, just one, and it's out of commission?
Yes.
Okay.
Somewhere in Sparks.
Okay.
I think it's very timely, Patrick. Because aren't most of the soccer games and all the rest of the things beginning in this month as well out there?
Yes, the season started last Saturday.
Okay, well, if this is acceptable, Commissioner Mallory, if any additional problems or challenges emerge, you know, and the current steps we've taken don't prove to be adequate, then perhaps you could report back to the commission with some recommendations about what else we can do to alleviate the problem.
They've done a wonderful job on,
yes, they have.
On the Fairview issue, and something similar to that with Edmonds would be wonderful.
All right.
Welcome,
thank you very much. All right, so we are on item H, public comment. That's our additional public comment period. If anybody would like to address any item.
Double the size of our public.
Yes, we have. We have double the size of our public. That's good to see. Would any member of the audience like to comment on any item under the purview of the RTC? All right, seeing none, we'll close public comment. And last item on the agenda is adjournment. Who would care to make a motion?
Can I actually go back? Sorry.
I'm sorry. Yes.
The second public comment can be on any item. It doesn't have to be specifically regarding matters that the RTC can hear.
Oh, that's on any matters? Why would anybody speak to us about something over which we have no control?
I don't know, but I want to clarify that's the way it's written, and that's the way that the law is. I just want to clarify that so that we can make sure that we're in compliance.
Well, it's interesting because that's not how it's worded in the first public comment. It specifically says that your item requires basically members of the public who wish to address the Regional Transportation Commission may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the RTC. So why are the two different?
I'm not sure that's the way the legislature handed it down. I think that the scope of the first one is geared towards individuals who might attend a meeting but may not be able to stay throughout the whole meeting, mm-hmm. meaning that they'll want to approach, you know, maybe it's item number 6 and they're only allotted half an hour to come to the meeting. So they can come and have their opportunity to make a public comment but then be able to leave as their time allots them. But this one is broader in scope, and it is on any item, and it doesn't have to be regarding what the commission is able to hear or take action on. It's very broad in this regard, regarding this second public comment section.
Well, my only concern is it says if your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair calendar the matter for a future RTC meeting. That the implication is that the item that they want addressed does specifically relate to the business of the commission. I'm not trying to be argumentative. To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But, okay, would anybody care to comment on anything of any relevance?
Madam Chair, I would, yes. I would like to ask her a question.
Sure, absolutely.
As long as we're on, you're explaining some of this stuff, maybe you can help me where it says, for example, on item E2 here, and this is throughout the agenda, it says for possible action. Prior, it was an action item. And I guess my way of thinking is action, either you take action, you table the action, you don't take any action, but any one of those things is doing action. So why does it say here possible action? How can you not take action on something?
The reason why that phrase for possible action has been changed to possible action, whereas it had previously been just, you know, an item of action, is again through the legislature. They updated the open meeting law this session, and it's something that they handed down to us. I think that I agree with you that tabling it is in a sense an action, but you guys could decide not to vote. You guys could decide to turn it back to staff. You could say, you know, staff, we would like ABC more information before we take an action on it, and turn it back to them without voting. So there could be times when it just becomes something more of a directive discussion rather than an action. But the four possible action phrase comes specifically from the new legislation.
Because to my way of thinking, it now means that this board may not even talk about that item. We're not taking any action of any kind on the item. We're just going to skip it and go on to the next one.
Well, if it's agendized, then you do need to address it at some point. At the very beginning, where it says the agenda management notice, on your guys' agenda, that's agenda item C. That's when items may be removed, combined. You can combine two or more of the agenda items for consideration. They may remove one. Staff may request that you remove one for various reasons. So if it's on the agenda and it has not been addressed under like the agenda management notice, then it would need to be addressed in some nature.
I'm just thinking as a board, boards take action, not possible action. So,
is it Miranda? I'm sorry. Would you like to introduce yourself to the members of the commission? Because we're accustomed to seeing Randy here.
I'm Tina Russom. I'm one of the civil deputy district attorneys.
Tina, okay. Yes. Tina, are you going to be assigned to the RTC at all future meetings?
Yes, I'm now your attorney.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That's good to know. And I should have asked you to identify yourself.
It's not a good way to start, though.
Well, and Tina, we understand that, you know, you didn't draft the legislation. Yeah. You know, you're just trying to enforce it, and I appreciate that. And allow us to comply with it so that we're not taken to task.
But the chair is not being argumentative with you.
No, but Jim is.
No, I'm not. I'm just asking. I don't understand.
No, listen, I agree. I agree completely. But
she read you your Miranda rights.
We're misdirecting our ire, you know. Tina, we don't mean to do that, but, you know, some of this doesn't make sense. So, but we'll have to comply with it because it's the law. All right. There's no public comment. We'll close public comment. And would somebody care to?
I move we adjourn.
All right. Absolutely. Is there a second? All right. All those in favor?
Before we get any
opposed? Thank you, everyone.